It's talking about the second aspect of loving your neighbor as yourself. You have two brothers in the church. One was a rich man, Luke 16:19, and the other was poor Lazarus, verse 20, lying at the gate. To me, this is a story which is very appropriate for today. How do I apply it to today? I apply it, here is a rich brother who believes in the prosperity gospel, a rich pastor perhaps, who's got his own private jet and his all types of things that he's made money off other people, and he's living in grand style, like all these television personalities who make money from poor people and who many of you admire with eyes open, thinking they are godly men because you have no discernment. This rich man is like that, sitting like that. And the poor man is, I think of some of the poor brothers in some of our villages who are a million times more godly than that television preacher. They don't have private jets and they don't perhaps know the Bible like them, but they're much more humble and much more God-fearing. And here's this rich man sitting there and thanking God that he has understood the prosperity gospel and God's blessed him and made him very rich and got a lot of money. And this poor brother, he's struggling in life. Sometimes he eats only one meal a day, struggling, living in a little old hut. I praise God for these brothers whom I know. I've been to many of their homes through the last 25-30 years. They have blessed me much more than any one of these prosperity preachers on television. Any day. And the rich man doesn't care for these poor people. Do you think any of these prosperity preachers will come down to the poor villages there where there are poor people struggling to earn their living? No, they only go among the rich and preach where people can give them $10,000 for one message, etc. I'm surprised. I'm not surprised at them. I'm surprised at the dumb, blind believers who believe these people are men of God. That's what surprises me more. I'm surprised that some people in CFC believe all this rubbish after all that they hear. Well, I suppose some people will never understand. The Bible says that some people will ever be learning and never come to the knowledge of the truth. I really believe there are people in CFC like that. They're mentioned in 2 Timothy 3. Ever learning, but never able to attain the knowledge of the truth. They're just learning and learning and learning and learning, but they still can't find that 2 plus 2 is 4. Finally, both die. And boy, what a difference in eternity. What a difference. Some will, like the rich prosperity gospel preacher, will stand, Lord, in your name we cast out demons, we did miracles, we prophesied in your name. Jesus said, get away from me, you who live in sin. And this poor brother, he's in paradise. The one who is despised. That poor person was a test to the rich man. The rich man was tested by his attitude towards that poor person. You may be the rich person. Do you know that God is testing your heart's attitude by your attitude to someone who does not perhaps have as much spiritually or materially or intellectually? Maybe he doesn't speak with that posh English accent that you have. His English is more broken or some bad accent and you despise him for that. You don't realize that God is testing you. I believe God tests us through the way some people speak, the bad accent and things like that, and so many things. I'm not saying that we should get those people up to preach. I'm saying that what is your attitude towards them? That's what I do. Do we despise somebody for something which has no eternal value? This man despised this poor man, and he ended up in hell. I don't want to be like that. Let me show you another true incident in Jesus' life in John chapter 8. I preached a sermon on this one saying, legalism is worse than adultery. Legalism is worse than adultery. I don't know how many of you are guilty of adultery. I hope nobody. But I fear that number of you are guilty of legalism. And legalism is worse than adultery. That's what I want you to see from John chapter 8 verses 1 to 12. I'll show you. You know the story, so I don't have to read it. Jesus is standing in the middle. On one side are all the legalists, the Pharisees who know their Bible well, who go to the meetings regularly, who pray and sing and do all the right things. On the other side is a poor woman caught in adultery whom the Bible says must be stoned to death. Moses said that as a law in the Old Testament. And the legalists have got their verses ready and say, Lord, according to this verse, this woman's got to be stoned to death. And Jesus says, that's right. I'm not against scripture. Stone her to death. But let the one who has not committed sin throw the first stone. Now, that's not written in the Old Testament, but that's the spirit of the Old Testament. Now, if you and I were there, those Pharisees would have picked up stones because we don't know their private life. See, I'm ready. But they couldn't do that with Jesus standing there. Because if one person had picked up a stone, Jesus said, okay, you want me to tell everybody all the secret sins in your life? No, no, no. I'm going home. Thank you, thank you. They knew that. They couldn't fool him. So they quietly walked away. It says starting with the oldest. Well, they were the biggest crooks. Starting with the oldest. They all went away. All the senior people went away first. And then the junior people also had to leave. Finally, there was one man left who had no sin in him, who could throw the stone. That was Jesus. He was qualified to pick up a stone and fulfill the scriptures. But Jesus doesn't throw stones at people. Did you know that? Do you know that Jesus doesn't throw stones at anybody? Not even at sinners? Not even at people who have disobeyed God's word thoroughly, like women caught in adultery? No, he's got no stones in his pockets. I thank God that I have a Savior who's got no stones to throw at me. Preachers may throw stones at you, not Jesus. Have you heard preachers stand in this pulpit and throw a stone at particular? I remember a brother once getting up in a Wednesday meeting here many years ago, and he was sharing something. It was so obvious to me that he was speaking to his wife who was sitting there. I think it was obvious to everybody. He wanted to preach a message to his wife. He didn't have the guts to tell her at home, so he got up in the pulpit and decided to give it to her here. He who is without sin, throw the first stone at him. Okay? So, Jesus said, I don't have any stones. No one condemned you? All these legalists went away? No, Lord, no, man. I do not condemn you. Does that mean he tolerated adultery? No, 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 no. But don't sin again. You know that's the full gospel? John 8, verse 11. I don't condemn you. That's the first part of the gospel. The second part of the gospel is, don't sin anymore. That's the word the Lord spoken to me. I don't condemn you for all your past life. Now don't sin anymore. Yes, Lord, I take both parts. I'm not going to take one part. And then Jesus said these amazing words. Verse 15. You people judge according to the flesh. I don't judge anybody. Because God, my Father, didn't send me into the world to judge the world, but to save the world. When you were born, how many of you think that God allowed you to be born to be a judge of other believers? I'm sorry to say I was stupid, idiotic, and foolish to think that God sent me into the world to be a judge of other believers. But I've repented. I've woken up and discovered God did not send me into the world to be a judge of other believers. He did not even send Jesus to be a judge of others. He sent me to bless people and to save them. If they don't want to be saved, they don't want to be blessed, okay, fine. But I don't want to judge them. It's not my business. God is the only judge. James 4 says, remember there is only one judge and only one lawgiver. Only one lawgiver and judge. That verse in James 4 has been a tremendous deliverance for me. I don't have to make laws for other people. You know, so many husbands and wives, they have fights at home because they made laws for each other. Thou shalt do like this, and thou shalt do like this. They are an additional lawgiver to God. It's good to have rules for ourselves, but don't make laws for others. Perfectionist. It's good to be a perfectionist if you stick to yourself in your perfectionism, but don't demand it of others, even in the church. Let's press on to perfection. But in our pressing on to perfection, let's be merciful to one another. God is examining our heart's attitude. Remember the story of Job. You know, the prosperity preacher, the rich man sitting there, could have looked at Lazarus and said, wow, why is he sick? Because he doesn't trust God as a healer. Why is he poor? Because he doesn't trust God to provide all his need. Do you despise people like that? The Pharisees despised the woman caught in adultery. The rich man despised Lazarus. And in the book of Job, the preachers despised Job. Why is he sick? Something is wrong. Why did his children die? Because something is wrong. All these judges. Why not take a humbler attitude? I don't know how many people judged others for getting sick during the last conference. I hope you didn't. I say, Lord, I thank God for those who didn't judge but who helped. And I thank God for those who say, Lord, that could have happened to me. And I thank God for those who did not even judge, those who organized the conference. Did you judge them? Did you judge the people who tried hard but, you know, probably made some mistakes? Jesus said, I am not judging anyone. He never had to judge himself. There was no sin in him. What about us? We have so much to do judging ourselves. And here we go around passing opinions on every Tom, Dick and Harry. All right, we have messed up the year 2009. Let's make sure 2010 is not going to be like that. May God have mercy on us.